I'm Ann Curley, and I co-lead a covenant circle. I've been involved with East Shore's covenant circles from the beginning, about 18, 19 years. Covenant circles are small groups, 8 to 10 people, who commit to attend meetings twice a month, usually 1.5 to 2 hours. Members of the circle create a covenant among themselves to listen and to be heard, to explore spiritual paths, and to build new and deeper personal connections. During each session, we have opening words, a time for personal check-in, and a topic for discussion and exploration, and closing words. Covenant circles are more than friendship groups. Participants practice deep listening and build thoughtful connections with one another. A covenant circle is not a therapy group, but it is a safe place for personal and spiritual exploration and growth. And confidentiality is very important. During the service today, you'll hear several people tell how important their covenant circle has been for them. We'll focus on the personal benefits and relationships. But if you'd like more detailed information, check out East Shore's website, talk to any of today's participants, and contact Nicole Duff, East Shore's Membership Development Manager. We invite you and we encourage you to experience the caring support and friendships that covenant circles provide.
First of all, I want to thank the Covenant Circle facilitators, and especially Ann Curley, for their efforts, the extraordinary ministry they are providing here at East Shore Church, and to thank them additionally for nudging me to fashion a worship service focusing on what they do and why it matters, to hold up our small group ministry, our covenant circles, and ask if this is something that's worthy of our love, and if yes, then how to support it, continue to support it in healthy and effective ways. Covenant circles offer opportunities for members, new and old, to make friends within a small group context, but with the additional deliberate intention to fulfill Unitarian Universalism's third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregation. For those who struggle with the word spiritual, think of spiritual growth as added insight, self-awareness, poise, self-possession, compassion, groundedness, response, ability, composure. Growth, that is, in becoming a creative and fully human being. Such growth is aided by what we call spiritual practices. Historically, the one spiritual practice that Unitarian Universalists have most consistently used to help each other grow by this measure has been covenants. Let me say that again. Covenants are and long have been our foremost UU spiritual practice. Covenants are not creeds. Creeds confirm agreement of thought. Covenants rather focus on a group's aspirations. We recite our congregational covenant in worship almost every Sunday as a way of holding each other accountable to our best efforts, a way to help one another withdraw our projections and begin actually meeting each other face to face and heart to heart. Covenants as a religious practice were honed by our liberal ancestors during the Protestant Reformation. The modern imagination paints a picture of the Puritans as rigid and condemnatory, but the truth is more nuanced. They weren't prudes, that's for sure. They had a generous daily beer allotment. Their courtship included overnight bundling. And for every orthodoxy stickler like Cotton Mather, there was more than one George Williams or Anne Hutchison. When the Puritans arrived on North American shores in the 17th century, all Europe was engulfed in wars of religion. The Puritans were Englishmen and women who had been radicalized after reading the newly translated from the Latin Bible and discovering there are all kinds of things, in particular political and economic admonitions, that their bishops, all of whom had been appointed by the crown, never mentioned. Religion suddenly was a very hot topic, but with heresy a capital offense, it could easily be a fatal topic too. In such an environment, many radicals decided to move to the other side of the earth, or rather the Atlantic Ocean, where they could ostensibly remain in the Church of England, but in their own radical way and far from the critical eye of authorities in London. Wanting to keep their radical experiment in participatory religion off the radar screen of the Anglican bishops back in England, these lefties of their day put a lot of energy into good practice, how to get along amicably. And what they came up with were congregational covenants, kind of a ground rules for the enterprise statement that bound members to treat one another courteously and lovingly, and without condemnation, whatever their state of belief or unbelief. For the divine spirit, Puritans also believed, and you use to this day, could not be regimented. People had to be free to decide for themselves, to be struck by grace or to settle for uncertainty, and then make terms with their resolution and act with it and with the integrity it offered them. Consider our ESUC covenant. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humanity in fellowship, thus do we covenant. Easy to recite, perhaps, but not all that easy to actually practice. We've all broken faith with these words in our own ways. We all have broken aspects within and shadow sides. And all of us struggle to get along with people we don't agree or easily connect with. Psychologists and others talk about the phenomenon of projection, whereby we project onto others aspects of ourselves that we can't or don't want to accept. Thus, so-and-so becomes a lowlife, somebody else a busybody, a stick in the mud, or worse. Covenants prevent this from getting out of hand. They enable freely gathered groups to live together with a modicum of civility. But for those who seek to withdraw their projections completely and suspend as best they can their defense mechanisms and their resistance, covenants can become spiritual in the way they open us up to the miracle of other human beings. In the words of Welcome by Annie Dillard I recited earlier, we are here to abet creation and to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature. And to remember our connections to one another, deep connections that put the ego with its manifold crises in perspective. Of course, you don't have to be into it on that level. Covenants make good sense simply as agreed upon process goals, the way we do things together. They make for respectful, caring behavior, or at least make a goal of it, even if we sometimes fail to live up to it. In other words, covenants are valuable for good, practical reasons. But for many UUs, covenants also have a spiritual component, a way to find deep meaning, God even as ultimate concern in one another. You want to get in touch with ultimate reality? Look no further than your covenant partners. Our church has mattered in many people's lives. Mattered in the life of Bellevue and beyond, and still matters very much to thousands of people, actually, every day. Just like our forebears, what we're trying to do here is radical. Nurture and grow our souls. Grow them through prayer, yes, but not prayer as conventionally defined. Rather, through prayer understood the way Unitarian Universalists have defined it since our beginning, prayer as service. I prayed for 20 years, but received no answer to my prayers until I prayed with my legs, wrote the runaway slave turned abolitionist and global statesman Frederick Douglass. Here at East Shore Church, Eric, Amanda, and I, the whole staff, endeavor every week to craft services that touch the wellsprings deep at the heart of our faith, wellsprings of renewal and empowerment that our tradition affirms and that we believe today are to be found wherever we pray with our legs and our hands and our hearts and our collective imagination, all to the end of making the world a better place, of doing good, of becoming more compassionate in our national politics for sure, but also and equally importantly in our own families and neighborhoods and church. The main point I want to make today, this morning, however, is not about the Sunday service. The main point I'm trying to make, and Anne and all the others are trying to make, is that there is another venue in which covenants are helping a large number of our members connect to others and grow spiritually. Covenant circle. Each circle has its own self-crafted guidelines called agreements or their circle covenant. At their best, covenant circles change lives, just like 12-step groups change lives. Change lives because they're designed to help one another open up about their ultimate concerns and reflect on how they're living up to them or not living up to them. Covenant circles help us be accountable to one another by letting each other know what's actually percolating around within one another's consciences, hearts, and imaginations. When we come out of that kind of a place together, that level of vulnerability and openness changes everything. And when we're doing that, we're praying with our legs, sharing our souls that we may help one another grow our souls. And when we're coming out of that place, we understand anew and in our bones that the cosmic umbilicus engendering all life runs also up and down each of our spinal columns, empowers our dreams, speaks to us through the still small voice of our consciences, guiding us everlastingly toward the good and into one another's arms and hearts. So it has been, and so may it be.